Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Are You Ready Podcast!
That was high energy. Not what I expected for an introduction. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody.
That was my Vince McMahon impression.
I know we're recording this very early in the day, and that's woken, I think, everyone straight up. So, yeah, welcome to the
I'm Hulk Woken right now.
You're what?
Hulk Woken.
All right, okay. I didn't get that reference at all. I was like, what's he? Is he?
If we're going to do a wrestling podcast and you don't know Hulk Hogan, we're going to struggle.
Hey, guys, let's do a wrestling. Who's that Hulk Hogan? It must be a big guy called
Hulk Hogan. Dudley brother, is he?
Who are they? Oh, no. I know Hulk Hogan. Hey, I'm never as
you're one of the Dudley brothers.
never has anyone looked at a camera and gone, hey, I know Hulk Hogan. I'm cool. No, nah, that's, yeah, I know Hulk, the Hulkster. The number one guy in all-time wrestling, fair to say.
I disagree.
No?
Well, Stone Cold is in my eyes.
The all-time number one guy?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's John Cena, but it's a good effort anyway from you. But do you want to tell people what this podcast is about for a start, rather than
I'd love to. Go ahead, David.
This is a wrestling podcast with two guys of, I suppose, I mean, people will say different generations.
Yeah.
You know,
varying heights.
Yes, and weights also as well, if we're going to get into that. We should actually do that at the start. We'll bill ourselves.
Weigh each other?
Yeah, we'll weigh each other and we'll do an announcement. We'll get us introduced to the podcast, weighing in at far too heavy for his BMI, this guy.
Yeah.
And also probably
slightly above.
Yeah.
Slightly above.
Listen, all we're saying is we'd struggle to get house insurance, but it's a podcast. We're both wrestling nerds, let's face it. I sort of have had to put my love of wrestling in very much to the closet because my wife bullies me about it. But now I have this avenue to discuss what wrestling has been over the years and just live. You know the times in my life when I was happy? And
I love that. It's not your wife, it's not your kids that makes you happy.
No, they
it's wrestling, you son of a bitch.
They make me happy, but do they run around covered in oil all day in wee hot pants?
And I hope not. You should go to jail if that's the case.
Yeah, well, listen, they don't, and thankfully.
And what makes this wrestling podcast different is, you know, a lot of wrestling podcasts are like, what's happening now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck.
No.
What happened 20 years ago? That's what we're about.
Yeah.
We're about when you watched wrestling. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When you were a kid and all the moments you saw, that's what this podcast is
upset.
About.
Like, because, I mean, that was, I suppose, a lot of the times wrestling is something certainly I grew up with, and we grew up in different eras. Like, I grew up in the days when Hulk Hogan was kicking about, Bret the Hitman Hart, Ric Flair, those boys. And and what was your era?
Mine was just after Attitude Era. So not quite like Stone Cold Champion. Do you remember like that weird 2003 period where the Goldberg was coming back? I do remember Heidenreich.
Yeah.
And he attacked Michael Cole in the bathroom and read him poetry.
Was that in wrestling or backstage?
It was backstage. He, let's say, attacks, fully sexually assaults Michael Cole reads him poetry.
And what was the for anyone that doesn't, like, Heinrich's quite a niche guy, but he was kind of, didn't they bring him in to be like a big monster guy, but then be like, he's blonde hair, call him Heidenreich, kind of make him a little bit like a Nazi?
The original idea for his gimmick, by the way, was to be a Nazi. He was called Baron von Bava, and the guy who pitched his gimmick, I swear to God, walked around the room throwing up Nazi salutes in front of Vince. And it's the only time Vince didn't say anything. He just put his glasses down, stood up, walked out, didn't speak to the guy, just went, not even addressing
him. And Vince McMahon didn't go for that.
Yeah. By the way, this is a man, Vince McMahon, who went to his own daughter, what if I have your child on TV? And that was too much for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that fair play to him. At least we know Vince's line. You know, incest is fine, but you joke about being it. Nah, not having it.
Vince pitched Stephanie the I'm going to be the father of your child. She went, no, that's disgusting. He went, okay, what about Shane, your brother?
And again, I imagine she was like, well, when you put it like that, I suppose, yes, that's sweet. But then you think of all the storylines he has kind of okayed over the years. He loves to do like a baby story with people. Like, do you remember Mark Henry and Mae Young and a baby?
Not just Mark Henry. Mark Henry, sexual chocolate.
Sexual chocolate. Like, his whole, what was his gimmick? That he was just a big sexual
just
guy.
Just a big horny dude.
And he was so horny, he ended up hooking up with a pensioner. Like, what age was Mae Young when they had the baby?
57.
Yeah, she was an old, like, is there any way we can find that out? Can you find out what age Mae Young was when she had Mark Henry's baby? Now, for anyone who doesn't know this story, this was built up that sexual chocolate got hooked up with this lady. And I'm going to say Mae Young was potentially in her 70s when they had this kid.
Doesn't sexual chocolate sound like a strain of weed?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it is. You could find it out
Let's
there.
See if,
but
if we can...
It says 77.
77 years old. Mae Young, she had Mark Hent. Now, to be in Vince's head, he approved... Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
He approved this relationship right here. Now, Mark Henry doesn't entirely look like a black... Like, he looks like a black person.
He doesn't look black!
But he looks like a black person to me. Like, I could conceivably be me there.
This is you and Shane before a show.
But he, like, obviously... I don't even know if I want to go into this so early in this episode of the podcast, but wrestling's not entirely, you know, it's scripted. You know, can we say that? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And in this, did he have to, like, legitimately kiss this woman, like, did they snog and stuff?
There's no way to fake snogging a granny. I think he had to just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? There's no way to work that.
Yeah. But how did he come back from this and then become like the House of Pain, Mark Henry? You know, just a big monster destroying people.
I wish I had answers for you. I really don't. This isn't the kind of segment I wanted to show you. I wanted to show the
one. I mean, since we're there, we may as well show some respect to Mae Young by...
We're not watching her tribute video when she died. I mean, that's not this kind of show.
Oh, no. Now, look at this. This is a 77-year-old woman trying to... What's she doing?
But, see, at this time when Mark Henry was doing this shit, the sexual chocolate gimmick, they signed him to a 10-year multi-million dollar contract.
Uh-huh.
They realized he was terrible.
Yeah.
So they were trying to get him to quit.
Right, okay.
So they were literally being like, bang a granny on TV. And he was like, all right, no worries. And they're like, for the love of fuck, mate.
Oh, no. Did she do a splash there? And obviously she's pregnant this time.
Yep, she's the 77-year-old pregnant woman. Do you remember again, people like, wrestling isn't real? Like, no, it is. I saw an 80-year-old give birth.
Yeah. But we just want to sort of fast forward to the point that whenever the time did come, their child was, it was a hand. Am I right in saying? They didn't have an actual child. She gave birth to a hand.
She did, which is what this is.
Oh, no. Like, and how did they ever think this was a... like, so what we're saying is here, Vince, okay.
By the way, she's giving birth fully smoking a cigar. Can we just acknowledge that?
Mm-hmm.
She's full Jimmy Savile in the bed.
Why?
Now then, Mark Henry. I have your spoon.
Why is Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson holding their noses? Like, what's going on here that they're being so disgusted?
I don't want to be crude.
Yeah.
From the smell of her cunt.
Oh, wow.
Cut that.
And they're getting like, oh, no. We're just watching the pensioner giving birth here. This is not where I expected this to go.
Yeah, we're 5 minutes into this new pilot episode.
Stage.
And it's just that.
Listen, it's been fun, guys. We tried it. You know, we gave it a go. Yeah. It was something new. Yeah.
William said cunt. Yeah. 2 minutes in. Cunt said.
Yeah. Oh, well. Listen, it's been fun, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
What got you into wrestling before we get into the show and what this is?
I think, like, looking back on it now, like, my dad, I was born and he was quite young. Like, I think he was like 23 or something when I was born. So whenever he was like younger than me now, he's still watching wrestling because it was on Sky then at the time. So
yeah,
he was still watching it and would have been like, here, this, and he probably said it to my mum to allow him to keep watching, being like, oh, he loves it. This guy, this wee fella loves it. And he's like, but why are you buying all the toys? Oh, this guy, he loves it. You know,
when I went to a wrestling show when I was like 7, there was a guy in front of me, like about 45 years old. And he spent 30 minutes of the show explaining to his kids why Hulkamania will never die.
And listen, how many years ago was that?
About 15.
Still run a wild, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It will never die. But like, I remember my sort of first memory of watching it was The Undertaker was in the middle of like a program with Yokozuna. You know, the sumo.
Sumo.
And he...
I thought Foster was just leaving there.
Basically, in that match, like, it come together. You'd seen the Undertaker's vignettes and stuff of him, like... Back in the good old days, the Undertaker, for anyone who doesn't know the character, he was just like an old school Western Undertaker, and his gimmick was he would win matches and then put people in coffins.
Yeah.
So he would just...
And every time that he's getting interviewed, he's just sanding down a coffin.
Yeah, he's sanding a coffin. He's digging a... I mean, at the end of the day, because he was only new to the WWF at the time, he probably was still working the day job. Yeah. So he's like, listen, I'll do these vignettes, but you need to come to my work. So I'm still, I need to, you know, at the end of the day, this woman's not going to bury herself. I need to. So he'd be building coffins, digging graves, just going about his day-to-day business.
And it was at that time in the WWF, everyone had a job. Yeah. There was a plumber.
And took the dumpster drosy. Yeah. He was a niche guy. He was a bin man.
Why was there never a traffic warden?
I mean, that
just giving out tickets.
Pins them, sticks a ticket in their body. There's a gimmick for you.
What a dick.
Yeah. Oh, he would have hate automatically. Just comes out in his new uniform, hate. But the Undertaker.
Just give him the crowd tickets.
Yeah. I mean, there's an idea.
That.
But the Undertaker was in a feud with Yokozuna. And obviously, when Yokozuna was like 600, I think he's the heaviest wrestler ever. He's a big, like, sumo wrestling character. And he had to build this coffin for him, and obviously it needed to be bespoke because you couldn't just pop Yoko into a regular coffin. So the Undertaker, for like weeks and weeks, had his work cut out on top of his day job, building this big fucking massive coffin.
You see him sound like, you fat bastard, sounding it down. I guess, like, I'm at the being home.
He's like, my dinner's going cold, for fuck's sake, Yoko. So he built this big coffin for, I think it was at the Royal Rumble, he was fighting.
It was the Royal Rumble,
And he had built this big coffin for him, and it was a casket match they had.
Yeah.
And I remember they went out and they're having the fight, and then Undertaker was about to win. Mm-hmm. And then like all the bad guys came out of the back and started beating on the Undertaker. And I remember thinking, like, my wee sense of like justice. I was like, what are you doing? Why is no one helping the Undertaker? I was like, because he's quite antisocial.
Yeah.
So that's, he's no mates.
Yeah.
You know, so they ended up, they just all beat the Undertaker and threw the Undertaker in the big casket.
Undertakers are like, I'm no jumping on. Ah!
Yeah, leave me. And then they closed him up, and then afterwards, obviously, the Undertaker, as well as being a functioning Undertaker, the lights went off and a whole paranormal thing happened, and he was like, I'm dead. I have died.
He literally, he's on the screen going, I'm dead.
Like, yeah. And he's like, my soul will ascend into the... And like, because it was so like 90s, it had no technology. And so it was like, you saw him, he was all white in the casket, like a ghost, and then he just slowly moved up the casket and disappeared. And they're like, he's gone, he's dead, he's gone forever. I cried.
You never see wrestlers when someone gets ambushed. You never see the mirror when they're going, fucking Stone Cold got jumped.
No, you never have that. And like, everyone was just like, fine. So then after that, they were like, well, the Undertaker's dead, on to the next. And it was like,
the Undertaker's dead, now for some tag team action.
And I said that, like, my dad, I'm like, will he be okay? And my dad genuinely time goes, I don't know, son. I don't know.
Will the Undertaker be okay?
I don't know, son. And I just remember being shattered, thinking, oh my God.
Just held your hand in silence.
And I was like, and he's gone. So, but then, of course, thankfully, spoiler alert, he came back.
Yeah. My earliest wrestling memory, I remember when I was younger, you had to stay up to watch it, right? And I was about 7 or 8. And my dad was up with me, and he was like, it's all right, we'll stick some wrestling on, right? Uh-huh. We treat for you. It was Judgment Day 03. And it was, as he turns it on, the bikini contest between Sable and Tori Wilson. So I'm there as a kid being like, oh, daddy, stick my show on. And it's just two girls in bikinis getting beat into each other, like snogging the face of each other.
Yeah.
My dad's like, I fucking love wrestling.
But that was I think that was also like part of it back in the day too. It was like, obviously nowadays, it's just wrestling. But back in those days, it was like, you have a bit of wrestling. People beating the shit out of each other with weapons, setting themselves on fire. And then also, for a bit of relief, just women running around in bikinis. And I think, again, that's testament to Vince McMahon, what he's interested in.
Yeah.
I like wrestling. I like boobs.
Yeah. People like Undertakers and tits.
Undertakers and underwear. And it's like, wow, okay, Vince, let's go for it.
But all that would always happen when your parents were in the room.
Yes.
So, I mean, when no one else was in the room, you're watching just two men wrestle.
Exactly. See, when you point that out, like, I remember I was in Hall on over visit my aunt that lives in London, and obviously my folks were there.
Are you Paddington Burr?
I know, whatever. Like, no shit, his aunt lives in Peru. So,
his aunt's big deal of a cult.
So
we're going to get 5 usable minutes out of this.
So we were there, and my mum and dad were obviously there with my aunt and uncle, just being adults, having drinks and eating dinner, and I was just this wee annoying kid. And they're like, away in the living room, watch TV.
Imagine your face on like a 5-year-old's body. It's fucking hilarious. So beard.
I was just sitting there, literally watching Raw. So it was on a Friday night. It used to be on Sky. I was watching Raw. I remember Chris Jericho had the, you know what, when he had Chris hair like a Shih Tzu for a while.
Yeah.
And it was just really rare. And I was like, oh, there's this week. And he was annoying. I was like, I don't like this guy. Yeah. And then at that time, Tori Wilson was just beating into maybe Lita or something. Just
might have been Lita, yeah.
And then at that point, my aunt came in, who my aunt would be a bit more conservative than maybe my folks would have been. And she was like, what are you watching in my house? And I was like, nothing. Wrestling. Lesbians. Men in pants. And they're like, it looks like full women in bikinis beating into each other. And I'm like, You know, I don't like this. I want to see the Undertaker, but this is on. You know,
it was every time something like when you watched it by yourself, flaming tables, ladders, chairs. Soon as your mate enters the room, it's a gay wedding.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
And now you're not even watching wrestling. It's having a good time.
You're interrupting your mate's actual gay wedding for some wrestling.
But it was always brilliant. And like again, people say they were like the people that don't like it are like, what do you do? It's only like soap opera. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Soap opera's enjoyable. Like you're a man that loves a soap opera.
As you've seen from my YouTube search history, I spend my time watching soap opera fights.
Yeah, and Carnation. I was like, what's the next on your playlist? Oh, Jim McDonald caught getting off of someone by Liz. And I was like, oh, wow. And
my YouTube playlist is like N-dubs and then it goes into wrestling and then it's just Steve McDonald versus Peter Barlow.
I mean, what
and that's when Willie T works hard. That's what he does.
I say, what an up and down emotional roller coaster your life must be. Like the Barlows, N-dubs, and wrestling. Wow. Like, why are you a 14-year-old guy that lives at home with, like, his 90-year-old aunt or something? Yeah. Corey and wrestling. I mean, what a combo. Would that be the crossover you would like to see? Would you see, like, Jim McDonald just appear on SmackDown?
Like you're watching Undertaker, like, fight Kane and Deidre Barlow runs in with the chair. Is that what you're asking me? It's Ken Barlow, son of a bitch! He's back!
Or is Ken Barlow still kicking about?
I don't know. What, much like wrestling, I only watch, like, 90s soaps.
Right, okay.
So the Attitude Era of Coronation Street.
And do you still watch, then, like, 90s wrestling, would you? Would that be...
Yeah, that would be my... Turn of 90s, early 2000s. That's my era. Up until about 05, 06.
And so who would then be the guys at the top at that point that you would have watched them go on?
If they give you a top three?
Yeah.
I'll give you my favourite wrestler of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, the greatest.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar.
Is he's your favourite?
Unquestionably.
Wow, I wouldn't have had that at all. I wouldn't have guessed it.
He's my favourite.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Cold, CM Punk. No, CM Punk's a bit later, yeah. But those are my three.
Nice. That's hard to pick. My three are probably Ric Flair,
yeah.
Kurt Angle, and Edge, maybe. And then The Undertaker, too. Everyone loves The Undertaker.
Who's your favourite three wrestlers?
And John Cena.
Tracy Barlow. Jim McDonald.
And Dev. Devendra, he's my favourite.
How good a wrestler name is Dev? It's just the screen goes black and it just comes up in the Titantron. Dev.
But what would Dev's gimmick be? Like obviously, well, he runs a corner shop.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
He just fucking fired tins of beans at you. Ah, no, Dev.
He's got the flake. He's got the flake, son of a bitch. It was in the boat.
He has a roll of like Lucky Dip scratch cards and he just fucking wings it out at you.
That'd be, I thought he meant Lucky Dip, like the sherbet. And he's like Mr. Fuji throwing it in the ice.
And he'd have, you know, those big tins of behind hard boiled sweets. And he'd just come up behind you and he'd eat a hard boiled and fucking batter it over your head. And then it's like, I don't know what his finish would be, something that would be devastating. They'd be like, the Devastator. And it'd just be, he hits you over the head with some Coke bottles. Take that, Deirdre, brother.
And after he just fills his, after he's pinned his opponents, he just fills their mouth with like wee cola bottles and just leaves them.
I mean, there's, see if you're a wrestler or you're a wrestling writer, gimmicks galore today.
Yeah.
You're getting
Coronation Street based gimmicks. Yeah. But we're talking
the Barlow blow.
The Barlow blow, that's amazing.
Okay, imagine Ken was a heel. You'd think he would just be a face, but yeah, no.
He cheats on Deirdre and turns heel. cheats on her and hits her with a chair.
And then Vince comes in and is like, I would like to see Ken Barlow have sex with Tracy Barlow. And he'd be like, no, Vince, stop having dads.
What about Peter Barlow?
She's like, oh, I'm sold. Yeah, I'll do it.
Well, we're talking about gimmick, right? So a gimmick, for those who may be watching this and aren't wrestling inclined, is essentially what a wrestler's character is. Mm-hmm. It's their gimmick. And they don't all work out.
No.
There's some that are terrible.
Yes. I mean, some of them you go, I get why that's... It works.
There's sometimes you're like, I can see what you went for.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
And other times you go, what? Why is this a
Were
thing?
Were 8 people collectively high when they made this?
Yeah. And I mean, but you think about the levels it must go through to be signed off before it appears on television. So people are like, that.
As men who have worked in TV themselves.
Listen. And they just sign it off. And it's like, you would go, this is wild. Like, what's a gimmick that comes to your mind that you go, oh no, what are they thinking?
Heidenreich has to be up there for that. Yeah. The sexual assault and poem reading Nazi. That's a weird one.
I mean, well, that's an interesting Tinder bio, isn't it? I'm sexual assault and poem reading Nazi.
I'd watch that Netflix documentary.
Was there a guy for a while? Am I right in saying this? Was he called? I mean, this is classic Vince. An Italian guy. Was he maybe called Guido? And he wore a dress.
You're thinking of Vito.
Vito,
there who was the bodyguard for little Guido. Yes.
So sorry, Vito was the bodyguard of little Guido. And did he wear a dress for a while?
Yeah, it was like so little Guido would hear these rumors, like your bodyguard was at a club. That's what it'd be like. Your bodyguard was. I saw your bodyguard at a gay club. He's like, no, you didn't. No one ever questions. Like, why were you in the gay bar?
Yeah.
No one ever questioned that.
Yeah, the Undertaker's like, I saw your bodyguard in the Kremlin, and they're like, what the fuck's the Undertaker doing in the crowd?
Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. But he would beat opponents because he would lift up his dress. He would lift up his dress and he'd be wearing this thong that revealed he had a massive dick, and it would freak his opponents out so much they would be like, ugh, and then he'd roll them up and win. And this was on TV for about half a year.
So this guy's gimmick was showing his dick. And then
and wearing a dress.
But why?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Did people not know he had a dick?
Oh, but once he lifted the dress, very aware he had
a
dick.
So he was just wearing a thong. But this guy, he didn't do anything else effeminate other than wear a dress. So he was like a big, bald dude.
No, that was the joke. He'd be like fixing a car while fully in a thong. It was weird. It was one of those games you're like, why? Who's this?
Can you get something up?
I can see if I can find. It's that niche.
Tried Vito WWE and even entrance, maybe, or dress. You get it for dress, wouldn't you?
We'll have a look.
Oh, there we go. I mean,
that's not him in a dress. Oh, that is him in a dress. Right,
his last match. And what's he wearing here?
Is that him in a... Well, who's he wearing tonight, guys?
Yeah. There we go.
He's wearing a lovely Vivian Westwood.
But I mean, there's nothing other than a dress on him. Do you know what I mean? He's just a guy
looking like a full UVF member in a dress.
Maybe that's the gimmick. He's just a UDA guy. He just... Yeah, he's a member of the UDA. Yeah. That's his... That's his... his stable. Like, oh dear. I mean, I'm just wanting to see the finisher here. He just gets his big walt out.
I don't think he wins this one, which is... Like, I didn't plan on speaking about this guy. I would have found you one where he... I'll see if there's one where he wins. I don't think there... He didn't... I won't lie to you, he didn't win often.
But there he is in an evening gown.
Yeah.
And is
this is Little Guido. Yeah. This is his mate, right?
I always remember the thing that stood out to me about Little Guido.
And this is Matt Hardy when he put on weight. Everyone called him Fat Hardy. Sorry, go
but
on.
See, Little Guido's feet are far too big for the size of his body. Like, they're about size 13 feet.
That's like my feet. My feet would freak you out.
Are they big?
For my height, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he... Did he, Little Guido, did he get a last ride, the Undertaker's finisher for a while, and did he bless himself?
He did. That's exactly what he did. So this was the first time we saw him in the dress.
Oh, right, okay.
And isn't he looking wonderful, folks?
I mean, I tell you what, he looks good in a dress, this
guy. If my dad came out as transgender, that's exactly what he looked like. Just rocking down to Christmas dinner. So Guido hasn't seen him in the dress.
Oh no! This is a big moment because the guy's coming out here. The guy is coming out as who his real self, and Guido can't. That's not a good friend.
This is ridiculous. Looking back at this, mental.
Yeah, oh, Guido's not having it. Guido looks like is his gimmick like he's basically a mafia guy.
Yeah, his gimmick was he was a bookie.
Oh, right, okay. What's that saying? His back, Nunzio.
Nunzio. It's just his name. Yeah, that was also his name, Nunzio. Little.
Oh, I mean,
Nunzio.
At least they don't have. At least they don't have stereotypical gimmicks there.
Yeah.
Nuncio and Fido. Oh, what's he? No. So let me just say, what's Fido trying to do here? Just
give his mate a hug.
Yeah, I mean,
and he won't hug him because he's in a dress, and that's homophobia for you guys. Yeah. The mid-2000s.
Listen, we need to move forward. But at least the WWE's always been very forward thinking. In terms of the rest. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. How do we even get on that?
Because we were talking about gimmicks, right?
Right? Okay.
We're talking about gimmicks, and we're talking about gimmicks where we're like, how did that make it, right? Which leads me onto this clip.
Right, okay.
Our producers have never seen this clip.
Okay.
Oh, no. They don't know what this gimmick is.
Okay.
So I'm just going to play it for them. People can hear that from the TV. this bit. That's so 90s as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah. So, let me say that. To me, that's Goldust.
Yeah, that was Goldust, you're correct.
And what's Goldust doing there? Because for anyone, the Goldust gimmick was, again, he debuted in the 90s and he came in, he was Goldust, he was just in a full gold suit, effectively like an Oscar statue.
That's what he was based on,
but very gay, kind of.
If an Oscar statue tried to finger you, that's Goldust.
His gimmick was that he would come in and like touch wrestlers' bums and dicks and stuff, and they wouldn't like it because it was bitch.
Because we're men in underwear, but don't touch my ass.
Oiled up, shaved guys in thongs won't let a guy. But he just became like a bit of a weird character. But to me, that looks like Goldust, but he's not golden. He's
white.
And what's he trying to do there? Would you want to explain what this is or why this is happening, please?
I wish I could explain what this gimmick is. It was never elaborated on, but what it essentially seems to be is he's a pedophile.
And
that is the gimmick.
I mean, did this...
Literally, someone saw TV and went, what if we had a wrestling pedo?
I mean, no. We can't blame Vince for this one because that looks like it was in WCW.
Is that because it says WCW? It was WCW, yeah.
So someone else, Vince Russo probably, came up with that?
It may have been Bischoff at the time. I don't know who exactly was in charge of that, but they essentially went, we don't have any pedos in the ring.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what we can do. And I mean, I don't think there's been any successful pedophile gimmicks, has there?
His booker, the booker of this, the guy who wrote it, may have been his dad.
Yeah.
That may have been Dusty.
Dusty
was on the committee at that time.
Nice.
And so your dad's like, I've got you a job. Oh, what is it? Pedo, man.
Yeah. Listen, I know you didn't like your character over in the WWE there. Yeah. But
he made you weird and creepy. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Do you like working with kids?
But that, like, see, that's the thing. See, when you're a kid and you saw, like, that would be scary. Like, nowadays, the Fiend, he would terrify you if you're a kid watching
that
wrestling.
That little 90s graphic that showed there. Of where his eyes are just cut out.
Yeah.
That freaked the fuck out of me first time I saw it.
But that's like, isn't that...
I was off the back of a fucking... David Platt versus Gary Webster street fight and went straight into that.
I mean, that's going to fuck you up. That's going to fuck you up. But that looked like, sort of like, what was that? Poltergeist? Was that the horror film? It's sort of where the eyes go all white and it's freaky like
I
that.
I know the movie Poltergeist. I was too young. I never saw
it. But I think that's sort of what it's based on. But they never really run with scary characters, do they?
No,
in the wrestling, like that. I mean obviously,
is that scary or is that just leave my child alone?
I mean, it's definitely pedophilic for sure. There's no doubt about it. But also, it's like a scary, it's a boogeyman type thing. Like, I think they would have an argument. You'd be like, the guy playing it would be like, I'm a pedophile. And be like, no, mate, you're the boogeyman. Don't worry. It's like, well, can I not boogie on grown-ups? They have to boogie on kids.
You make the boogeyman sound like someone who's just dancing on people.
Yeah, listen, let me just boogie on adults. I'm sick of boogieing on kids. And by what do you mean by that? Stealing them, abducting children from their beds.
They did have a boogeyman in wrestling. Do you remember the boogeyman?
Yes, but he wasn't like scary. He was weird, wasn't he?
He wasn't. He ate worms and smashed a clock over his head. That's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it is, but he had no teeth. That's what scared me.
Even though he had teeth, they were just on either side of his mouth. Oh, so he had a tooth there. He had his two canines.
Oh, right. I thought you were just trying to get at people with gaps in their teeth. And I was going to be like, no, it's not the time.
Yeah, he essentially had your face.
He just did my face.
Were you the boogeyman?
And I'm going to get you.
Yeah. The guy who played the boogeyman, he auditioned for Tough Enough, which had an age limit of 30, right?
Yeah.
And they found out he was above it. And there's a segment, but I can't find it, but there's a segment where it's like, how old are you? 30. How old are you? 30. How old are you? 40.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, he was one of those guys who he was totally jacked but couldn't really wrestle too good. So it was like a bodybuilder just with no teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, and Vince saw money in him. And to be fair, the boogeyman's probably...
He ate actual worms. They could have just given him a gummy worms or something. He's like, no, I'll fucking rattle them into me.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously they're a good source of protein because look at him, jack guy.
100%. I'm trying to think. I had another gimmick and I can't find. This is another gimmick. Now, this isn't WWE, right? This is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
What this is.
This is why wrestling's great because it's absurd.
Yeah. You pay a tenner in the Conswater Community Center and you see this. Loving it.
Your day's made. And also, there's a wee shout out to Ukraine there with that blue and yellow. We support them and unless a Russian based company wants to sponsor us, in which case.
This is Michael Jackson wrestling.
Yeah. Like, people think MJ's dead. Nah, he's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Being a pro wrestler. Check this move out.
The original wrestling penis.
Yeah, speaking of wrestling penis, there you go. That was tremendous. I mean, what a gimmick. Since we're on weird gimmicks, what's that one to the right? Mexican the one... wrestler drop kicks a little person?
Yeah. So I don't know what this gimmick is, but this is one of my favorite clips, right? This is outside.
Oh, no. That's like the size of my baby. Oh, no. Oh, wow. That's got to be sore.
That's me. I'm in the monkey suit.
Oh, wow. That is some
clip. That clip. I've seen that clip like 4 times today before I came in here. That's why I'm late. Every dare fucking time. It's a little somersault he does for me. It's a girl.
Oh, no.
Joe, what I love is that we sit there when he gets hit.
Look at him. Right? Is that it? It's bizarrely the same dimensions as Kieran Bartlett as well. Oh, his wee hands.
Oh. Oh, he does a flip.
Was that guy supposed to catch him?
He didn't catch him. He took him to the face. He what?
Have you ever had him? That's fucking horrible. Oh. I mean, see, after you've just watched... after you've just watched Richard Hillman drown the Platt family, that'll pick you back up again.
You just seen that, you're in tears.
Oh my God.
It's so hard. I don't have the context for you. I can't tell you why there's a monkey.
No.
I don't know why it's her. I just see it getting drop kicked out of his fucking head.
But why? What's the monkey trying to do?
I'm not just thinking about the monkey getting drop kicked.
Oh dear. But mate, what other form of entertainment?
You're going to need to talk for like a minute.
What other form of entertainment are you going to get that? Where else are you going to see a large man, a bulky muscular man assault a midget monkey? You know, it's wild. I mean, you may as well play it again.
You just can watch it one more time.
Get you through it. It's the bump. Oh, what are you at there?
Boop, boop.
And he's so stunned. Mate.
Conk.
Oh, no. Look at this. Oh, it's a stupid wee face. Oh, my God. Are there any... Is this a thing? I have a look for Mexican monkey wrestlers.
I don't... There is... Oh. So, little person wrestling is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
WWE did have it for a while. It was called the junior division. I'll see if I can find any junior division wrestling for you.
Like, I remember when... You know Hornswoggle?
Yes. About.
He was obviously a leprechaun, and he was involved with Finlay, the wrestler, who, by the way, they're some of the best vignettes ever.
He's involved with them, like he's riding them.
But they were some of the best vignettes ever. Finlay was a guy who's from Carrick, Fergus, but they billed him, like, and his whole gimmick was just everything to do with the troubles in Ireland ever. And, like, I remember one of the first ones, they just had him, and at the time he must have been about, what, 50? When he debuted,
he was
WWE
in his 50s.
And like, he had a promo video where he's standing at Carrick Fergus Castle and he was at his back to the camera, and then he turned around and he just went, "My name is Finlay. Some people call me a fighting Irish bastard.
Yeah.
Not to my face." What does it even mean? And it just hits like a generic Irish twang, and then it goes.
It was... Right, but like with Finlay as well, he was just literally doing tours of like most famous things in Northern Ireland. You're like, "This is the Giant's Causeway, where my ancestors did battle."
Yeah.
"I'm coming to wrestle." It's like, what the fuck does this...
"I was brought up in the Crown Bar, smashing people over the heads with lanterns." And you're like, "All right, Finlay.
I got kicked out of Lavery's on Saturday."
Yeah.
"Finlay, coming to get you." One of the best times when I went to see wrestling live, Finlay was there, right? And the guy, the heel, right? So when you go to Wrestling Live, they'll have a guy on the mic riling up the crowd before the good guy comes out. And Chuck Palumbo came out and being like, Belfast, amazing for Guinness and the Titanic. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and the Titanic sank and you're all losers. And I'm like, people died. Like, do relax. And then Finlay came out to, you know, stand up for the Titanic.
Yeah. Oh, here, can we just get the Finlay vignette on, please?
Do you want it on? Oh, yeah.
And they built him up because he was big in WCW back in the day as Fit Finlay. What a great name for an old man.
Oh, my God.
And he was just the same gimmick, but in the W, like, they just love to play the Northern Ireland stereotypes up. They even had a Belfast brawl, didn't they, at WrestleMania, which was just a hardcore match.
When Finlay, the fighting Irish bastard, debuted in WCW,
there we go.
He beat the fuck out of William Regal and called him an English pig. Yeah, I loved him.
Here we go. This is the first one. It's got the traditional music.
The riots, the bloodstained streets, it can harden a man's soul. My family lived through it all. They did what they had to do to survive. Here in Belfast, words
like
come cheap.
Desolate, broken down house, he that's Belfast. Like, what's he doing?
My name's Finlay. Some people call me a fighting Irish bastard. Not to my face.
He does your teeth.
I know. He does. Right, coming soon. They hit the one at Carrickfergus Castle. Like, why did he try to say down? Like, go back to that video. The title of his video is Vignette Number One, Downtown Belfast, House of No Windows or Doors. Like, I mean,
this is my home.
Yeah.
I've kicked the fuck out of it. And this is.
And again, he's just looking at things.
He's just an Irish sightseeer. That's his gimmick.
My ancestors.
You can't see the camera strap around his neck.
For over 400 years, we have fought. For everything we have.
Why is he Polly McDonald?
Care for our family and live our lives.
There's a third one, just him driving a taxi.
Let's see what he'll say this time. Spirit.
My name's Finlay, and I've given new meaning to the term fighting Irish.
Oh. Also, we need you to look tough. What are you wearing? Turtleneck?
Yeah. Oh, there's a third one the Giants got. We'll finish at this one.
This is enough, of course.
Does he have his back?
This was just before Finlay came.
Does he have his back? Just before I do as well, because it's a great video. Does he have his back to the camera here?
My father worked these shores while I was growing up. It was here I'd watch him fight, leaving his opponents broken.
Because Dad's Fimico.
I'm proud of my family.
Oh, here he is.
Just look at it.
And he taught me to do the same. My name is Finlay, and I love to fight.
I mean,
that's it.
Conceivably, he just could be a taxi driver. No, like the next video, he's just standing outside taxi rank. My name is Finlay.
You stand outside Chip, go get the body.
That's us now. Like, all right, go ahead. Oh, they're great. And what I love about that is he's probably said to him, listen, I need to go home here for a few weeks to just record. That was 10 out of 10, Finlay. So then they progressed his gimmick. So he started off being hard, like a tough Belfast character. Again, with a shillelagh, because obviously that's what we all have.
Yeah, every child at birth, in our child is given the shillelagh.
Actually, most of them are born with the shillelagh in
their hand. Defend Carrickfergus Castle. Yes. That's what Northern Irish kids do.
But whenever his gimmick also became a wee bit less about him just being a rough, hard guy, they had this guy pop out from under the ring, a leprechaun called Hornswoggle. But when he debuted, right, they obviously didn't name him. So Jim Ross would just be like, what's that little bastard? And he just for like 3 weeks called him the little bastard. And then, oh, there's that
three
bastard
weeks?
Again.
It was genuinely months. Like, it went on for
the
so
little
long
bastard. And then he just used to help Finlay by popping out from under
the ring. So this is Finlay, the fighting Irish bastard, and this is the first appearance of his leprechaun.
Yeah, his leprechaun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, by the way, he's wrestling a pirate, don't ask. It's genuinely wrestling Paul Bertrand, thought he was a pirate.
Yeah, and was that before Pirates of the Caribbean? Can you say Paul Burchill was
the like, it was very much the time of it. That's what it was based on.
Right, okay.
I
love Finlay's haircut. Like, he's just a Belfast da, isn't he?
He really, really is.
He can't take my daughter to prom.
He's in the audience of the Nolan show.
Yeah.
That's Finlay.
Yeah. He's like, hey, look at him. Like, what? Why has he kept those wee bits longer is that, around it?
He's that Belfast thing of, like, he's not defined. He's a wee bit chubby, but he's got the muscles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But also, he's got tits.
Oh, no. Oh, there's a green light. It's like, our studio's actually under the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Here was my debut.
This thing, a human being, this thing. That's like my 1 year old. She's as feral as that. Yeah. And also I dress her like that too.
Do you pick her up and body slam her on the people? We'll just get a wee rewind of that. I forgot he did this. Wow.
Get back under there, you bastard.
Oh, you gonna take him back with you? Nah.
Back to the green light. Oh, for goodness sake. The fact that there's a Hornswoggle top 10 memorable moments, that shows you he came back, he came around.
Well, Hornswoggle worked in WWE longer than Finlay.
Yeah. Finlay. I mean,
I think Hornswoggle went for about 10 years.
He deserves it. I would like to see Finlay return.
He still works there,
but I want to see him come out.
Yeah,
you know,
protesting the Irish border.
Yes,
IC border.
Yeah, and then
this is the Super C cut.
Yeah, this is Larne. I grew up hating Larne, like everyone else that doesn't live in Larne.
This is the Don Donald Ice Boat.
Energy 106 discos were a staple of my childhood. But who was it he fought at WrestleMania in the Belfast Bar
JBL.
Brawl? Yeah, and it's like...
And he started that feud because JBL just kept beating up his son, who was Hornswoggle. Just kept beating him up.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm not even going to play that segment because it's not even funny. It's just upsetting to see a massive Texan
beat
the shit out of a small man.
But he enjoyed it. I'm sure JBL had a great time doing that.
Yeah, he did.
But, like, I remember when I went to see SmackDown once at the SSE. They were in a feud, Finlay and JBL, and JBL just came out and slayed at Belfast, and I've never seen anyone come from the back of the curtains to the ring quicker, more raging than Finlay. What did you say? With his shillelagh.
Finlay flanked by 8 value cab drivers.
He was just driven down an Uber.
Slagging Carrick Fergus Castle. Fucking rolling straight.
What did you say about my castle? He's dissing the night ride and he's like, nah, not fucking having it.
You won't slag off the glider. That's like Finlay comes in the glider.
That's his WrestleMania big entrance. He's brought in the glider, he's given a wee bowl of stew, and next again, it's fucking tremendous. What a guy. What a guy. And Finlay, shockingly enough, never was given the goal, never the big title, never the world champion, which is heartbreaking.
No. I think he won the US title once. I don't know if I am such a wee wrestling encyclopedia that I know this. He won
but
the
then
US title.
What he should have done, because you know why sometimes when people win belts, they change them. Like John Cena won a belt and for some reason turned it into a spinner belt.
Yeah.
What Finlay should have done is changed it to being the Belfast title.
And what's that? Just the Belfast Bap on
it's
a
just,
belt?
It's a Belfast. Just a load of Belfast Baps on strings. And like a Belfast Bap.
It's a Ulster Fries. <Travis. laughs> The That's beans brilliant. Were the tricky part.
I mean, there's a belt in the knee, the Belfast belt. That's a 10 out of 10. I tell you what, you could use a Belfast Bap as a weapon as well.
Yeah.
They're so hard.
Yeah.
It could be a finishing move. Fuck a shillelagh. One of those babies to the head. And then he finishes and eats a Belfast Bap with a sausage rolling.
And Hornswoggle comes out, eats wee mini cocktail sausages.
Yeah,
and
a bottle of Maine lemonade. That's the works.
But we will have to show our producers some, you know, because... Wrestling goes well most of the time.
Yes.
Most of the time. Unfortunately, not all of the time, guys, because it can't go wrong, David.
Yeah, and in the terms of the world of wrestling, a mistake's not just a mistake. They have names for everything. It's a botch.
It's a botch. That's what a mistake. When someone fucks something up in the ring, it's called a botch. I'm about to show you guys one of the worst botches I've ever seen. I saw this morning. You've seen this?
I think so, and I don't really know if I want to open my eyes for it, but we'll watch.
Just jacked his jaw
with
a forearm.
I know.
What is this? This took place in Conswater Community Centre also.
Just before Finlay came out for the Belfast title.
Off camera, I think Don just was sick.
Look at the audience.
Did he die?
No, he kicked out.
He kicks out. Oh, no. I mean, I like the way he's moving his legs. One more time.
One more? You want to see that again? Talk over it this time, right? So, yeah. It has him up. I think they're going...
He looks like he's going for some sort of winged angel, is he?
A one-winged angel, maybe?
Yeah. Down, in position, going for the moonsault.
Right. Also, a standard move, a moonsault, but is he going for a 450?
Oh, he's going for a big flip, isn't he? Listen to the crowd.
Is that what you call it? The big flip?
Listen, look at the audience. Total silence.
Because they've just watched a man die. That's my favorite. Kicks out. That's my favorite
no,
thing.
No, don't kick out. Here, since we're looking at fun things, can you get the Psycho Sid? We'll go botch for botch. Psycho Sid.
Oh.
His one's good.
Oh. Okay, I'll tell this, people at home, if you've never seen this botch from Psycho Sid, it is one of the most disgusting things.
Just go leg. Just leg.
Leg, yeah. Leg,
yeah. There you go. There's a classic Psycho Sid. Right. Watch this. Big leg drop. And that's what you call...
I think Dan's about to cry.
Is that a work?
No, that's not a work. That's his shoot leg.
Yeah. Like, that's a big man.
That's what happened to me.
What? You were fighting Papa Pump
and
you broke your
leg?
That's
how I got cerebral palsy, yeah.
Big Papa Pump put you in the Steiner recliner and that's the rest is history.
If you watch the Vince McMahon, I don't know if it's a watch, but that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, was this when Vince double leg
tears?
Don't worry. But you won't know what happens because it's not an obvious thing, but it's... Oh my God.
I'll see if I can find this... Do you remember what the video was called specifically without giving it away?
Do you know what it's called?
I just found it here. This may be one of the best. So there he is, wee Vince. This is a great quality
rating,
video.
Rating, look at him.
Right.
He looks like your dad's accountant. Oh no. Bah. Oh no. Oh no.
So we'll just rewind that so we'll take you through it. What he's done there, right, is he comes into the ring, tears one quad as he goes in the ring, stands up and tears the other one.
Yeah. So both his quads are torn off the bone.
There's one torn.
Oh, no. Like, that'll be excruciating pain, that. But that's the thing about wrestling, too. They just have to work it on.
I remember watching this live. They never explained why Vince is just sitting down.
He's like, yeah. He's like a child. Oh no. Oh no, he's like.
He said, firmly to him, he's pulling off like.
Something's got on here.
You made a good case there. And his fucking quads are torn.
Oh. Was he in a wheelchair long term after that? Oh no.
This is just sitting down this whole time.
Oh no.
The best, not the best part of him being out there was, is what? They fucked up. The end of the Royal Rumble. Uh-huh. He wasn't meant to be out there at all.
So
it's not like he was meant to be out there and
so
then
he
fucked it up. That's why he comes out. So Batista's meant to throw over Cena. They both fell over the top rope.
Yes.
Right? And that's why he comes out like this.
Oh no.
He's fucking
ripping. Son of a bitch. God damn it, you motherfuckers. Look at the hair. Right? He's like a mafia. Oh no. So sore.
Like, imagine you catch your kids doing something wrong. You come up to ground them. You just tear both your quads.
And then have to sit there. I mean, say what you want. Great
posture.
Did
you take her toys, did you?
Great posture. Look at that. We're in a goddamn predicament now. Oh, that's tremendous. But do you remember when Vince came out as Vince, or like Mr. McMahon, to wrestle for the first time in a leotard, and he was completely jacked? I was like,
ripped.
What the hell?
Do you remember the time he fought God?
No, I don't actually remember the time he fought God.
This?
No.
Vince Jimmer had a match where he fought God.
Can I ask who won?
Vince.
Wow.
It was Vincent Shane versus Shawn Michaels and God. And they had a spotlight come out as God. And halfway through it, God leaves.
And he signs this off. I have a great idea.
It's gonna be me and God.
Whereas if you never heard Vince speak, I do a good Vince.
Yeah, that's a good Vince, to be fair.
There's one time we drove to Galway, actually, where we wrote William of Orangedale. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
He insisted on speaking like Vince McMahon for the full 4-hour journey. And then lost his voice for the gig.
I wonder why.
I warned you. Yeah. I was like, stop doing it because
it was too much fun. It was too much fun.
He was literally going, where are we on the Google Maps?
Yeah. We're in Dungiven. Oh, Vince McMahon, what a guy.
Yeah. So we're talking about Vince going mental. Mm-hmm. There was the time Vince was shaved bald. Do you remember he was shaved bald?
Yeah, because of course he was in the middle of a feud with none other than former President of the United States, Donald Trump.
And then not making this up. This happened.
And they did a match at WrestleMania. They couldn't do it themselves, so they picked two big lads, Bobby Lashley and Umaga.
Two big lads
to fight for them, and the loser got shaved bald. And as you can tell, Donald Trump's never been bald. So
yeah,
Trump.
I'm trying to see if I can find Trump attacking Vince because he hits him with a spear, and then some of the weakest things I've ever seen.
Look at that. That was the leader of the free world, right, yeah. That guy.
This is before he was president, about 10 years before he was president. This is how, by the way, this is how I know Trump. Like, this is where I know him from.
This guy, I don't believe it. It's terrible. What are you doing? Couple of frauds. Fantastic frauds.
China.
The best fraud.
Yeah, Stone Cold is there.
Steve Austin's the ref, is he?
He is.
Oh, no. Look at Vince. What's he trying to say here?
You get in there, you son of a bitch, and you count that far.
Oh, wow. Trump with the clothesline. Oh, no.
Those fucking dicks.
Oh wow, that's Donald Trump. Listen to JR.
JR's acting like he just hit a swan. Yeah. JR's acting like he just hit a swanton.
Yeah, oh, look at him. Yeah. I hate the Mexicans. Yeah, I hate them. They'll build a wall and pay for it.
So Vince's guy lost that match, which is why he's bald, which led us to possibly the greatest era of Vince McMahon. Which is simply known as Do-Rag Vince.
Do-Rag Vince.
Do-Rag Vince, which is this.
Do-Rag Vince.
What's up, Holmes?
Just Vince McMahon wearing a do-rag to cover his bald head.
For some reason acted like he was African-American.
Yeah, I mean,
for
Vince...
no reason. No reason.
It could be like, you know what? In... But do you remember...
70?
In The Simpsons... Was there a guy, what's he called, Snakebite or something?
Snake, the prisoner?
Snake, yeah. But when Homer took his hair, he became Snake. It's like when Vince McMahon puts a do-rag on, he's like, I have to act African-American now.
Yeah.
Holmes.
He did take it too far at one point.
I mean, it's not like Vince McMahon to take things too far, we'll say.
Maybe not. I don't even know if we can play the clip of him taking it too far.
No, I don't think so. Certainly not on air. But listen, there's a clip out there of Vince McMahon.
If you want
to
look up
far.
Vince McMahon talking to John Cena,
mm-hmm.
Play it. Oh, Fosty doesn't give one fuck. Go ahead.
No. We'll beep it.
This, by the way, look at this is Fosty's car. Right?
Yeah, the series. And then let me just see. What way do you put that into YouTube there?
Shut up.
What's good in the hood?
Just hold it down. Try to take care of business.
Keep it up.
He's so proud of himself. He's so happy.
Tell me he didn't just say that.
That's
yeah.
Comedy.
Yeah, it's comedy. Oh, wow. Vince McMahon, what a guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
That, yeah, Vince, I fucking... There's going to be a Netflix series coming out about Vince, and I just entice everybody to watch it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking amazing.
Is it actually coming out, or you're just predicting
no,
it?
No, it is coming out. They're making it. It's like a 4-part documentary. It'll be amazing.
Oh, I mean, listen, we'll do a watch-along. Yeah.
100% I do a watch along, yeah. But this is a segment I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. Where I show you a clip you haven't seen before.
Right, okay.
Right, so I want you to take a wee mouthful of water. Okay. See how long you can do, right? Just without... Let me get this all set up.
What are we like for time, boys? How are we?
Just about
5. Oh, wow.
Brutus the Buck, take a look at this.
Right,
Brutus,
so get a...
What a package.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to bust a nut anytime we're in the ring.
Can you hear that?
After I beat you and satisfy all the Hulkamaniacs, I'm gonna get off by cranking your knob just a little beyond the breaking point.
And now the Warriors down on his knees.
I have to swallow my water. I ruined the studio.
We're 25 seconds into the 5 minute video.
Oh, wow. Keep us going. Oh, what's he doing?
Who says wrestling's gay?
I started out fighting in this barn when I was a little boy, and I don't care if my last fight is in this barn. Jimmy Garvin touched me in a personal way you never touched me before.
And Mark Henry is handling the big Johnson.
I'm going to have to apologize ahead of time because I'm going to stretch his ass like it's never been stretched before.
A what?
Until they Blanchard, you can't run and hide from me anymore. And when we come to Philadelphia this time, there's going to be no mistaking what's going to happen. I'm going to come on you like nobody's ever come on you before. Nobody to run distraction for you. Just you and I getting it on like two men should do. This isn't some game. This is where men are men and the boys stay on the side and watch what's going on.
What the fuck's he talking about?
Just using his mouth to get the man off.
Big enough, brother. And you grab a hold of me, and you'll know that I'm growing, my man. Within your hands, I will get as big as I need to be, as big as I need to be to do the job on you. Now, it doesn't take a very big snake to do the job.
But I want it too, and I had to fight inch for inch to get this, and I'm not about to lay down on my back and let someone cover me.
I thank you very much.
I'll cut it off the next one.
Shawn Michaels, you can hide behind that commissioner's stuff just so long until I jerk a knot in your ass.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. See, if I see you around my house again, I'll jerk a knot in your arse.
Oh, well, I'll be it myself.
That's a big thing. And wrestling, for some, they love sticking things in each other's asses. Yeah, it's always,
I mean, but listen, it's easy access because a lot of them are just running around in their pants. Yeah. Like,
but it's always like, I want his ass.
Yeah,
and I'm going to eat his ass for breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time, though, wasn't there, where Rikishi just used to shove his ass in people's face?
It was. Before you talk about that, I just want to go over it. You know, we saw Jeff Jarrett there say he's got his... You know, as comedians, we go, I might say this tonight. Mm-hmm. He sat backstage and went, I'm going to tell people, I'm going to stretch his ass. And his mates went, that's great.
Sounds good, mate. Give it a go. Listen, try it, see what the audience think, and if it works.
Oh, that'll kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Rikishi did, he used to sit on people's face. And if Rikishi didn't like you, he wouldn't wipe his hole before he did it.
I know, his hole was deep. He had a big old arse on him, like.
Oh, I think we should, we'll do away. That's not laughing. We'll watch a stink face from Rikishi.
Stink face, yeah.
To give you an idea you guys, of how big this is.
Do any of you guys know what the stink face is over there at all? I don't. Yeah? Oh, yeah. This is going to be... I'm going to enjoy Dan watching the stink face because, I mean, there's no way you fake a stink face here. Oh, wow.
That was me this morning.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this isn't what I meant to put on.
I mean... Yeah.
I'm not turning it off, but it's not what I meant. Me after 3 drinks on Thunder, dude.
And this is me, just normally, regularly.
You coming?
I mean, that's definitely a disappointment
for Matt. Tori's what they look like, their Tinder profile, and the rock up, and it's Rikishi. Yeah. That's a Tinder day for you.
Oh, Rikishi, what a like, he could move for a big boy. He was impressive. Like, big lads like me looked at him and went, what an aspiration.
Did you ever see the front flip he can do?
No.
He gets clothesline, he can do a genuine just flip. Yeah. Oh, yes.
I thought that was like a finisher.
No, he did
a wee run and flip. That'd be impressive. But the big bonsai drop, that was a move. You get up from that. But like, I remember listening to, was it Chris
I'm
Jericho?
I'm still thinking about the monkey. Sorry, yeah. Go on.
Chris Jericho was talking on a podcast once and someone asked him like what the stink face smell like, and he was like, just talcum powder, he's a really clean bum, like he looks after his bum and talcs it up for you. But then he said like there would be people that if he wanted to like mess with you, he would just, you know,
not wipe his ass,
walk around with a sweaty hole and just thrust in your face.
And he was 500 pounds nearly.
Yeah. I mean, you would need long arms to reach that asshole to wipe it too. Like, so you'd imagine there'd be a few dingleberries in there. You know.
You're coming like chewing.
Yeah.
You're coming on. Getting that out of your throat.
But me and Vince probably came up with that gimmick too. You have a big ass, Rikishi. Let me see that ass.
Rub it in my face.
And like, he's always known for doing things first, wasn't he? So like, he wouldn't get anyone to do something.
Move that...
He wouldn't take himself.
No.
So Vince McMahon's probably taking the stink face. But he went through a wee phase too of having the Kiss My Ass Club too. Where like...
You guys familiar with the Kiss My Ass Club?
Vince would have like... If he... Like, to make people like... come over to his way or apologize to him for something, that he would come out and bring them in the ring and pull down
pull
his
arse
and,
out and make you
and
kiss
make
it.
Kiss his bare ass, yeah. which was a great club to be in. I kiss my ass.
And when I watched SmackDown as a kid on a Saturday morning, they would cut it differently than if it was
yes,
live.
Yes, that's right.
And they used to cut to the crowd for two things. A chair shot and yeah. Vince getting his arse kissed.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the Kiss My Ass Club probably came out of the fact that it's probably started as a Suck My Dick Club. And like, Vince, you can't do that. We can't. Sorry. It's too far. Even for you. First entrance, Stephanie. No, Vince, stop.
What about our brother?
Shane. But
do we have a clip we want to bring close things up?
The closest, I mean, not one that springs to mind. I think we've a lot of clip. It's been been like a You've Been Framed wrestler. It'd be great fun.
This has been us going. Thanks for the welcome to the show.
Yeah, cheers. Hope you enjoy. But no, going forward, we will obviously. This is just the first episode, and
yep. This is episode zero. This is just an introductory episode. Yeah.
No, come on, episode zeros are stupid. This is episode one. If you do an episode zero, yeah, you're dense. So
what's wrong with that?
It just makes no sense.
It'll get tens of views.
Yeah. So what we're saying is, going forward with this, we will have questions. So if you're listening, you want to ask us some questions, you have some moments, yep. You want to bring up videos you want to recommend, we have an email address which will be in the description of the video. So
we're
going to
review different characters, different gimmicks, different shows. If you want to see something reviewed by us, let us know and we'll do it.
Yep, and of course, say all the information is in the bio and description of the video.
Until then, suck it.
Why am I so old?